This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
All right, everyone, this episode of Nothing Major is sponsored by Vuori. I've actually been wearing Vuori recently. In fact, I wore it at Wimbledon just a few weeks ago. I wear the all-white Vuori outfit at Wimbledon. Looked great, played great in the Vuori. It's all performance apparel, but it doesn't look like typical workout stuff. I actually owned Vuori pre-doing this ad, and I would wear it to pick the kids up at school. I'd wear it to the gym. I wore it to dinner a lot of times with my wife. It looks good everywhere. It's light. It's comfortable. You're not stuck in clothes that scream, I'm going to the gym. Website, couldn't be easier to work. It's clean. It's quick. It's easy to navigate. For me, Vuori stuff is all about versatility and comfort.
Yeah, and I've got their core short on right now. I pretty much live in those shorts. They're the most comfortable shorts that I have probably ever owned in my life. You know, it's the one short for every sport. I wear it to the gym, to the park, walking around town, you name it. I only live in those shorts. You know, the material is incredibly lightweight and soft. And, you know, I've got a couple pairs pretty much that are in my rotation at all times. And, you know, I can't wait to get those shorts on every day when I get up.
Good news for the Nothing Major Nation. Vuori's offering our listeners 20% off your first purchase. I hope that goes to you and me too, Stevie. I don't know if it does, but... Actually, I'll just use this discount code that I'm about to read. Just go to Vuori.com/nothingmajor. We get it too, Stevie. Good news. That's Vuori, Vuori.com/nothingmajor. Exclusions apply, but visit the website for full terms and conditions.
And not only will you get 20% off your first purchase, but you'll also get free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. So head to Vuori.com/nothingmajor.
That's a pretty good deal, 20% off. Where's Vuori? Where you live too?
I know. I'm about 200 yards from the shop right now, actually from my house. So I might actually walk down there later and see if I can get this in-store discount, but I might have to go online.
It's trendy. It's trendy right now. If I go pick up the boys at school, the dads and the moms, they're all wearing Vuori. So guys, use that 20% off. Vuori.com/nothingmajor. Head there now.
Coming up on Nothing Major, we are going to wrap up all things Wimbledon. We're going to dive into a big Wimbledon mailbag, and the bracket challenge winner from Wimby is going to come on the show just like they did at Roland Garros. So that's all ahead on Nothing Major. Welcome back, everyone. Happy Friday. Back to Nothing Major now. Something Major is over. Third time we've done that. I think we're on to something. We'll continue that for the U.S. Open for sure. But right now, it's our regularly scheduled program, Nothing Major. I'm John Isner. Got Sam Querrey here. Back from London. Said he got in around 1:30 in the morning. Stevie Johnson, he's got to start a bit of an Ironman streak again. He of course, is here.
I'm on number two. Yeah.
He's on number two. Jack is traveling to Idaho right now. Pickleball-related photo shoot, I think, for his sponsor. But anyways, Charlie Fox and his team at SIF Creative, of course, is with us, as they are every single episode. All right, Wimbledon has been wrapped up. Sam, just like he was at Roland Garros, was over there for the whole time doing some ESPN. I'm sure you guys saw him. gracing your TV screens. He quite frankly carried the Wimbledon coverage. And I saw that they had a crazy amount of impressions, like the highest in 6 years. No coincidence, is it, Sam?
No, it can't be. I mean, numbers, I think, were up like about 100% compared to last year. Viewership averaged like over a million a day. If you just look at what changed, I think it's pretty obvious. I was on the desk.
I mean, that's it, right?
There's only one tangible change that they made.
I know you guys are laughing, but...
It probably had nothing to do with the matches, the Sinner Alcaraz final. I don't think so.
The rematch? No. I don't think people wanted to watch that.
No.
Yeah. But anyway, it was fun being over there.
Congratulations, Sam. I think you were a big part of that. You said a couple days ago, I think he said this, Stevie, that you had some... I don't know if you said it on the... You didn't say it on the pod. You said it on a text. You have some good stories from the Champions Dinner, which you went to. If you play in the Legends, you're invited to the Champions Dinner. I think that's kind of silly, to be quite honest with you, unless you're a past champion yourself as a legend. Sam, you are not. But anyways...
Who do you think should go to the dinner then? Just past champions?
Just past champions. Yeah, I'm with John on this one.
There's not that many.
Members of the club? You're kind of sullying the experience in my mind. You got Sam Querrey there?
It's like stolen valor.
Whoa.
It's stolen valor to be at the Legends.
Stolen valor. I like that, Stevie.
You think an old British member should take precedent over a couple of the Legends players like myself at the table?
Stolen valor. I really like that.
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Was James there?
James didn't go.
Just James Blake, by the way, who was part of the Legends.
Yeah. There's probably 30 Legends players that play in the Legends, and I bet 20 of them went to the dinner.
How many of them had won Wimbledon?
Probably out of the 20. Hingis.
Yeah. Hewitt.
Hewitt, I didn't see him there. A lot of doubles, like the Bryan brothers, Zimonjic, Martina never. I don't know if Martina was there.
Oh, Zimmo.
Zimmo made an appearance.
Did Lindstedt go?
But it was cool. Lindstedt. Yeah, oh yeah, Lindstedt was there.
It's stolen valor. You guys didn't win.
Robert Lindstedt, Ninad Zimonjic. These are two doubles guys.
I mean, whatever. I got the invite. I'm going. But it is cool. The Champions Dinner, it's Sunday night after the men's final. If you're the people that go are like past champions, obviously the two winners, Iga and Yannick. Legends players like myself and all the others that played in the Legends, the Bryan brothers, Hewitt, Philippoussis, Hingis, I mean, there's a bunch of players. And then it's like dignitaries from like federations, a lot of those people, you know.
I'm the
president of the Portuguese Tennis Federation. Like, all right, good to see you. Yeah. And then a bunch of old members. So there's probably 300 people there, but it is cool anyone who's there, maybe not the members, but a lot of the players, morning of on Sunday, you go into the men's locker room and you get fitted for a tux. So they've got like a tux rental place in there with like 300 tuxes, and you fit them and they put it aside for you. And then the women, either the women that are invited or like the plus ones, like my wife got to go in at an area at Wimbledon and get fitted for a dress. Like a dress company came. There was like 300 dresses that they got to choose from. And then the dinner starts late, though. It's like a 10 p.m. dinner.
Ooh,
that's late.
Are you serious?
Well, the men's finals at 4. It ends
that's
at
true.
Like it ended at like 7:45. And Sinner probably has an hour and a half of press. Yep, you know, so he's done at 9:30, and it was in the city in this old ballroom, like the raffles or something. This old war room. It was really cool. You go there, there's probably 300 people. My table was right next to Iga's table. I had a primetime table. Like, I could have reached out and touched her. I had no business being that close to the champions.
You had no business being at the dinner.
Okay, come on. I had a lot of business being at the dinner.
I always thought it was at Wimbledon.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Was for like 1 year. They put it like in a tent outside, but no, it's in the city. Okay. At that hour, there's no traffic, so it's 25 minutes. They have a cocktail party, and then you go down to like the dinner where it's set up. Like, it's beautiful. Sit there. Laura Robson hosted. She kind of gave up and gave a speech. You have some appetizers, and then Iga showed up at 10:30. She kind of comes in. You stand up. They make this cool video on the Jumbotron. She holds up her trophy. Then you sit down, and then Sinner came at like Sinner came 12:05. That's what it was. 12:05 Sinner rolled. No, I didn't care. It was just like he was in the back just like hammering drinks, I think, with his team, obviously, like having a good time. he came out with a trophy. And then at some point, Laura Robson brings them both on stage, does a little Q&A with Iga and Yannick pretty quick. And then there was a rumor they weren't going to have to dance. And then like the crowd peer pressured them into dancing for like 45 seconds. It was good though. Yannick did a good job. Yannick was like feeling good and made it really fun. Smile on his face, started twirling Iga. And then like they 45 seconds in, they were done dancing. And then went back to the table and you kind of unbelievable food, the appetizers, wine, all this stuff. And then at like 1 a.m., Abby, my wife and I were like, all right, we have to go. We had a flight that day, but it was a cool thing to be a part of. I never know what it was like. It was not, I think I would go again, but I don't know. Like it's one of those things like late and it's a great event that you want to do one time if you're not, unless you're winning the tournament.
So after like the, you know, the champions dance, it kind of just like slows down at that point. Like, I mean, it's like, that's like the crescendo. And then it's like all like the dinner's kind of downhill after that.
Hard cut off at 2 a.m. They're like 2 a.m. Okay. Everyone's leaving. You're getting cars back to the city.
Got it.
So I don't know what happened between like 1:15 and 2, but people were starting to trickle out just because it was so late. And there's a lot of people, like I was on the ESPN desk all day. It wasn't like I was feeling fresh. I was getting pretty tired, but it was cool to be a fly on the wall for the event.
That's good. What time was the flight the next day? So you got to be thinking, like, for me, I'm such a spaz. If I'm up at 12:30, 1 in the morning, and I have a flight at, I don't know, what time was your flight? 9 a.m., I'm guessing?
No, flight was 4 o'clock.
But so with kids.
Oh, 4 p.m.?
4 p.m. to Dallas. Then I got home last night at like 1:30.
Obviously 4 p.m.
Oh, wait, what pet peeve on my flight? This is always a big discussion. We're in business class, not to... But for the sake of the story, we had a row across. I'm trying to add context to the story. Okay. The one dude, like my 3-year-old's in a seat. I asked the one guy in the window seat, hey, would you mind going back to my seat? Couldn't get 4 in a row. Would you mind going back to my seat? Same business class, in the window, few rows back. He's like, no, I won't do it. I picked this seat for a reason. I was like, are you serious? I go...
It was the same, like same seat, window to window.
Same seat. You're just going from row 3 to row 9.
So then, was he willing to take care of Owen?
No, I looked at Owen. I was like, dude, start growling at this guy. I could not believe it. What? That bugs me on flights. I know some people feel the other way, but like,
it depends.
You're going from the exact same seat to the depends, Stevie.
I'm just saying, like in your situation, no. Like I think fine, but like you see all these times where somebody's like, hey, like, can you take this? You know, 14B. Can you trade me seats? It's like, no. Like, I'm not sitting in a middle seat, you know, in the back. Like,
of course.
You know, that kind of thing. But if you're in the business class like that, you got the lay flat, it's all, you know, everything's equal. You're traveling by yourself. You know, it seems, and I mean, personally, I wouldn't want to sit. I don't really care sitting next to kids, but without the parent next to you, like.
Slept the whole time.
Correct.
I sat in the back in a few rows back in peace, never had to do anything. My wife just had to handle both kids, but.
Yeah, that seems like a big miss. Unless he's like OCD or like superstitious, right? And he needs like 3A. Like he feels safe in that seat or something. Like I get that, but.
I don't get it at all. I'm with you, Sam. If you're moving from business class, window to window.
Right. I mean, if you were in 3J and you're listening to last night, London, Dallas, and you're listening to the pod, stop listening.
That is funny.
Anyway.
To the man in 3J from the 4 o'clock from London to DFW.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
F you.
Talking to you, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm with you on that one, Sam. Business to business should be a no-brainer.
Yep.
No-brainer. Sam, did you ever see Fed again? I saw you put up that picture, just a shameless post. You put it on your Instagram to get a lot of likes. Using Fed for clout.
I also had a nice outfit on, if you want to talk about
my outfit. But there was no mention of the outfit. Never, you could have been like, hey, like, thanks to, you know, ex-tailors,
I saw,
you know, for the suit.
I happened to be on the grass area when William and Kate rolled by. So I got to see William and Kate. I'm not that into the Royals. It wasn't that exciting. The Royal box is so small. It's not like US Open, there was like 100 celebrities. Wimbledon, I feel like that Royal box only holds like 75 people. So there's only, you know, like McConaughey, our boy McConaughey. I was looking for him to try to get him on the pod.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
Call him out for not replying to my DMs. Be like, yo, dude, I wrote you on Instagram a year ago. Like, no reply on me? Who else? Nicole Kidman was there. Agassi.
They showed Seal a lot.
Seal was in Sinner's
box. Always there, but
player box.
Yeah.
Seal and Sinner are buddies.
I'm going to disagree. I'm kind of into the royal family.
Who's your favorite one?
I think George is pretty smooth. Right? William and Kate, like, I how proper are they? Yeah. I mean, they exude class, and like, they're just the perfect representation of what the United Kingdom is and should be.
She's got to be the best dresser day to day of anyone in the world.
Yeah, the kids were wearing glasses, like they crushed it. I'm kind of in. I like William and Kate quite a lot. Of course, don't know them. Yeah, never met them, but
I guess William and Kate are good. All the other old dukes and duchesses of these places.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
yeah. The old ones can go or not be there. I don't care for them that much. Anyways, all right. That's it. Anything else, Sam?
No, that's it. It's a fun trip over.
All right. Well, we said we're going to do a mailbag to wrap up. We haven't done this throughout the course of Wimbledon. And I'm actually, for myself, just seeing these questions right now. You guys want to dig into these?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Okay. The one at the top of the list is what I'm going to start with because the username is just fantastic. Feel like this could be Stevie's burner, maybe. Maybe not. I'm not sure. But the username is Query, spelled your name wrong, bad at pickle. Is he wrong?
Feels like Steve.
He or she?
No, it can't be me because, look, I took my lumps a few months back when I lost to Salmon Pickle, so that's good out. Point. I'm out. I took my beating, and that's it.
Nice username.
All right, that's a great username. And the question is, do you guys ever see Fonseca catching Carlos or Sinner in his career, and how long would that take? That is a good one.
That's a good question.
That's a very good one. He's 18, right? Like, so... I mean, I just remember Sinner at 18, 19. I think I played him when he was 19 at one point. Not nearly as good as he is now. I mean, he's improved so much from then, 4 years ago, till he is to where his level is, right now. I know we pump up Fonseca a lot, but for the sake of the health of our sport, and I actually do believe this. I'm going to say yes. I think he can catch up to these guys and get to the conversation. And I'm not saying it's next year or the year after. I think in 4 or 5 years, he can be in the conversation where he is one of the top four favorites to win each slam he enters. So I'm going to say yes, but not to the level they're at. Like, I think he can get to that level where he's expected to make the final four of these Grand Slams. That's my take.
So not to their level.
I mean, like, not quite, but he's gonna be up there, right? Like, he can compete with. I mean, it's hard to say he's gonna be as good as Sinner is right now in 4 years, but I think he can compete with these guys absolutely in 4 years. He's not gonna win. He's not gonna roll off four slams in 2 years, but I think he can win one or two in the span of 2 or 3 years.
It's going to take a couple years for him to, like, grow, mature, get stronger. I mean, because these other guys are physically just more, they're just bigger. They're more physical out there on the court. They've done it now. I mean, they went through the growing pains when they were both 18, 19, like, you know, in the kind of the similar spot that Fonseca
Didn't
is.
Didn't Alcaraz win a slam at 19?
18.
Yeah, 18, but I mean, like, look at him now. He's, these guys are dominating. 19. So it's going to take him, you know, well, I mean, Roger didn't win his first slam until 21, 22, something like that. So it's like, it just takes a while for everybody, you know, Sinner, Alcaraz. I'd like somebody else to get up there, and I hope it's him because he's electric. He's from, you know, being from South America, he can bring that entire, you know, audience to the game of tennis even more so than he does now. So I hope so, because right now the gap between those two guys and anybody else pushing them is pretty far. So we have the ability to see a lot more Sinner Alcaraz finals. I'd like to see some other guys in the mix for sure, just for, you know, some parity in the sport.
I'm like super pro Fonseca, but I don't think I think these two are too good, and they're like separating themselves by the day. I see it more like these two Sinner Alcaraz are like Fed Nadal Djokovic, and Fonseca is more like a Murray or Wawrinka. Maybe gets like 3 to 5 slams. but I think Sinner and Alcaraz are going to be on an island of their own through the next 15 years.
Yeah, that's kind of what I said without saying that.
Your answer was so bad, John.
Yeah. All right.
Well, he's just workshopping it in his head. You know, the wheels are spinning.
Yeah. My point is, I think he's going to be a name that before each Grand Slam starts, that they're going to be speaking of him immediately after Sinner and Alcaraz. So instead of being an afterthought, like no one's speaking about it.
So that's not catching them, right?
Probably not. You're right, Sam. Yeah, I guess what I guess, I agree with you, Sam.
Okay.
He's not going to be catching them. That's really bad on my part. Thank you for calling me out. All right, next question from Jennifer, and this is a good one. Everyone talks about this specifically at Wimbledon, and the question is, tell the truth, how many Wimbledon towels have you each taken? And I guess that's assuming throughout our careers. How many Wimbledon towels have each of us taken? Sam, start with you.
I think I'm going to get an exact answer. I have played, I'm 24, 34. I've played 38 matches at Wimbledon. I've probably averaged that's not even counting doubles. That's two towels, so that's 38 plus 38, 76. And then we'd probably another, I don't know, 15 doubles matches. I bet I've taken 90 Wimbledon towels.
You get less than doubles.
I just got more for the legends. James and I played when I got two. I'm going to say I've taken 90 towels. Even Dimitrov the other day when he tore his pec, he was putting the towel in with the one hand. Like, everyone steals them.
When I played Grigor in the third round, I think it was in 2016, we had same, you know, when you were playing Novak, Sam, there were so many rain delays. You guys didn't have a roof, right? That day? I can't remember.
No, we did not.
Not at that time. So we had, I mean, I want to say we played, had five or six like rain delays during the four set match. Every time, two towels. I think I had, and in the seated locker room, you guys know, you guys get the two big lockers. My entire bottom locker was full of towels. I had at least 14 towels from that match.
Yeah.
From one match, and I was just handing them out to all the locker room guys. It was just like a game to me at that point.
You could literally go on your Wikipedia and see the amount of matches you've played and almost guess the exact number, I would think.
Yeah, but you got it with rain delays, you get two fresh ones each time you go out there.
Yeah.
But how many do you guys have at the house now? I mean, because you can give so many away.
Oh, yeah. 30. Who knows?
I probably have like six at the house.
I probably have 25 to 30.
We kind of use them. They're like, hope I'm not like desecrating the importance of the Wimbledon towel. We kind of use them for dogs.
Dude,
if they're wet. They're good towels, right? You don't dry off in the shower after you get out of the shower in the Wimbledon towel. Of course, you use the River Oaks towels from Houston.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where you steal the bath towels.
Yes, exactly. So it's not like that. When I was still playing and I'd get ready for my practice in Dallas or Florida, wherever I was, I would absolutely pack. I would always use those towels as my practice towels in the heat. And I took a lot of it. I took a bunch from French Open, Aussie Open. U.S. Open, not as cool, but like would have some.
Yeah, they don't really have. They have usually give you like one on like the big courts. It's kind of a weird. U.S. Open doesn't have like a signature towel.
No, it's all about the Wimby towels.
Yeah. Yep, totally. So, yeah, that's it. But I guess the answer to the question, Sam, I'm with you. I probably have taken off the court, not what I've taken home. I've probably taken off the court over 100 Wimbledon towels.
Yeah.
And then you kind of parse them out to ATP physios and friends and family and whatnot. So, yeah, it's always a great tradition at Wimbledon to steal those. Because what do they cost on the ground, Sam? Do you know exactly what it is?
They're like 200 pounds at the gift shop.
It's crazy. Yes,
come on. They're not that. They're like 50 pounds, aren't they?
No. They're more.
Are they really that much?
Yeah. They were like 80. I remember they were like 80 or 100 when I was last, you know, playing a few years back. So they're not going down in price.
You're right, though. It is tradition for players to steal them.
Didn't you say, like, 6 months from now, the 2025 Wimbledon towels will go on sale for like £5 or something?
Yeah, Henman was telling me that. But it's only for like the residents of London. Like they go on sale and you have to like go to Wimbledon. They like open a large, you know, chest or something. And there's like 5,000 Wimby towels and like a pound.
Yeah, can't use the 2025 towels next year. So got to get rid of them.
Nope.
No, exactly.
Nope. I quite like the ladies' towel too. They had the pink ones, right?
They're the pink one.
They're amazing.
I got one this year. If I had it, I'd show you guys, but it's in my bag.
Those are good.
That's also a good one. Trading with them to get one of those. It's good.
Very good one. Next one. We got Eddie from Wisconsin. He's a Green Bay Packer fan, I'm assuming. Okay, at what level? This is a great hypothetical. At what level could two double specialists defeat Yannick Sinner in a two-on-one match? Here's a caveat. Where only Sinner is allowed to hit into the doubles alleys.
Does Sinner beat the Wimbledon champs one-on-two? Sinner gets doubles alleys, and the Wimbledon champs only get singles.
The doubles guys get them.
I think the doubles...
The doubles guys get them. There's just too much coverage. I think there's just too much coverage. And Sinner's got to play every point.
Sinner gets alleys, and the doubles guys only get singles.
No, Sinner wins.
I think the doubles guys
win. I think Sinner too.
No way. There's no way.
What are you talking about?
The level of between Sinner and
I get that there's a big difference. Trust me. But they just don't have to cover the court.
What is Lloyd Glasspool going to do to Sinner?
They just get to cover the court. They don't have to like...
They've never seen this kind of ball before.
I think they get him, dude.
Yeah, but Sinner gets to use the alleys. That's the
Sinner
trick.
Gets the without the alleys, there's no different, no, that's no different to the doubles guys. They got to cover that.
I understand.
They only get singles.
I get how the court works, Sam. I get it.
They're not going to get good cracks at return, right?
Sinner's going to bomb a serve. Sinner's going to bomb a serve. They're going to leave some return hanging. Is he going to absolutely nuke the next ball?
I'm taking
doubles
Sinner.
Guys get him.
I'm picking Sinner, too.
It's too much, dude.
Yeah. So the answer is, two college players couldn't do it if the Wimbledon champs can't do it. That's what Sam
and
I think.
That's get the two best doubles players in the world. They're not doing it.
Prime, Bob and Mike Bryan, I'm taking them. But Lloyd Casper.
What do you mean?
Glasspool and Cash, I'm taking Sinner.
Sinner. Taking Alcaraz, too, for that matter, if we want to play
exactly.
The game.
I'm taking two of us over Sinner, though.
Okay. No.
What do you think?
But you think you think two of us can then win the women's...
No, not right now.
Oh, we need practice. Yeah.
In our prime?
Yeah, in our prime.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Easy. For sure. But Sinner's taken out the current Wimbledon doubles champions in a two-on-one match, which Sinner has the alleys. That's our answer. Great question, Eddie.
That's Stevie not disagrees. All of our answers. Thank you.
Excuse me. Nice answer. I like this one from Mark. Mark with a C from Germany. Who of the current or past American tennis players would you say is the most European? And he's talking about
answer.
Like game styles, but we can take this any which way we want.
Oh, game styles.
Fritz, for example, can play the typical aggressive shot-making kind of tennis, but can also play cross-court 28 times in a row. Hard hitters like Sam, Jack, and bots like myself are not in the race with a smiley face. Of course, I totally agree.
You're the most anti-European player of all time.
Yeah, probably. Who is it? Let's do...
Of the last, 15 years, kind of 20 years, who's the most European-style player?
I'm just going to go with Sebastian Korda.
That's a good answer, actually, Stevie.
Yeah, that's the obvious answer, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Stevie.
He lives there most of the time. He comes back. He's very comfortable over there. He will play the European events over U.S. tournaments, which never happens to anyone else. It's hard to tell because, the guys are so good now. Everybody can grind from the baseline. I feel like there's not a discernible difference between, American tennis and European tennis, as a whole, anymore. Back in the day, I felt like there was more.
Sebi's backhand is so European, right? It's typical Czech.
For sure.
Way better backhand.
Amazing.
Yeah.
He's the only one. Otherwise, there's no player in my mind that you're like, oh, he plays like a European. There's not one American from the last 15, 20 years that I would say has a European style game outside of Sebi a little bit, and particularly because of the backhand.
The backhand is money. But what about which current player is most European? In terms of lifestyle.
It's Riley Opelka.
It's Riley Opelka, exactly.
It's Riley Opelka, yeah.
He wants to go to art shows and, dress European. And he wears, the European,
satchel.
Men's purses.
Yep, merces. Yep. He was
Riley,
before,
for sure.
Before Wimbledon, he was at, the Prada show or something. Posting about
it.
Yeah.
How does he get invited? I guess he just in like a little circle.
He's dialed, dude. He's in the circle. Riley's absolutely dialed. He'll lose in tournaments in Europe, instead of going home right away, he'll hang for 3 days and go to art museums.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It's Riley. Good answer.
No one else does that.
No one else does that.
Oh, side note. Stevie and I, we have an inside track to a player that wants to be coached by Nothing Major at the Open.
Come on. Main draw?
Main draw. He's a main draw player. We're not going to be the primary coaches, but we can get very involved.
We haven't finalized the details yet, but
yeah,
at least two of the four of us will partake in a coaching.
Yeah, no, John's got to be into.
And are we working John pro bono?
Yeah.
So John's in pro bono. But it's, we're gonna be on site. We'll be at the practices. We'll be at the matches if we can make it. We got
tell
the
me
logo.
It's Pedro.
We're
gonna,
it's not.
Ooh, it's not.
It's not. We haven't asked Pedro.
As we get closer, as we finalize things, we'll get closer. We'll maybe turn this into some type of guessing game. But there's a good chance for Nothing Major to be part of a main draw players coaching, box whatever situation at the U.S. Open.
Could and be for big. All those players listening right now, we don't have to just do one. So reach out, you know. We can coach more than one,
Stevie.
You know.
How many players do you think are listening to the pod?
Can you imagine this player that we're talking right now? He's got like a night match Tuesday night, and we're in the coaching box coaching.
Love that.
What if this player makes a run to the quarters? That changes our lives.
Gosh, I just don't see that
does
happening.
Does it change our
but
lives?
I hope it does.
No, it doesn't change our lives, but it'd be pretty cool.
I don't think it changes our lives.
We're getting nothing from that. It's good exposure. Yeah.
What about this from Nick, Stevie from Orange County? It says, thinking back to your junior tennis days, what were some of your favorite USTA junior events / biggest titles wins?
I don't know. If you want to talk about it too, John, because like, I never played one junior slam and like was never any good. Can still be a good tennis player without doing that stuff.
Yeah, so what about just junior?
It's hard because like they're just Southern California tournaments, like the JPM Masaki. Like that doesn't resonate with anyone but a Southern California
Did you
California
ever play
kid.
Like junior Davis? Like or not junior?
Yeah,
zonals?
It was like junior... Yeah, always like zonals, like intersectionals. They had like U.S. Davis Cup for like the 18s, right? All the sections played in Champaign. I don't know if you guys, Sam might not have done it. You were too good. John might have done it.
Any junior trip when you're like 12 or 14 and you leave your home state and go with like your buddies for like 3-4 days to play like another state or another tournament?
Yeah, zonals.
And you're in like you're staying in a hotel and you get to go like swimming in like the Embassy Suites pool and stuff. Like those are all fun. Those are
totally
all, stands out, but like they're all great.
Yeah.
For me, it was the Southern section would have a Davis Cup just with the 9 states. Okay. And so obviously I would play for North Carolina and I think we would always play it in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So all the best players from each state would meet in Chattanooga and compete to see who was the best state. Always took a lot of pride in that. Georgia always won. But, you know, like just trying to beat Georgia.
Was Florida
was like,
part of that or no?
No. They're not. Florida's Florida.
They were their own section.
Southern
Florida, like
section
their own thing,
is,
yeah.
You know, South Carolina, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Arkansas, you know, whatever. Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina. Anyways, that was fun. So I think my favorite junior events were like Chattanooga, Tennessee, the Davis Cup, the Southern Sectional Davis Cup. Really enjoyed that. Stay at a Residence Inn.
Yeah, yeah. It's so it's fun, great. Though. Any like little junior tournament like that's fun.
Yeah.
All right. We mentioned on the pre-show that we were going to bring on, once again, our bracket challenge winner. We did this at the end of Roland Garros. Kid came on graciously. And the winner of the Wimbledon bracket challenge, over 4,000 entries, is coming on the pod right now. We want to welcome username BP1, a.k.a. Ben Powell. Welcome to the show, dude.
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys for having me.
This is the second straight winner from the great state of North Carolina. The Roland
Joey
Garris
Donuts
winner.
Was North Carolina, too?
Yep. Cary, North Carolina.
Water.
Ben, he's one up in Joey Donuts. He's from the great city of Greensboro, North Carolina. And as fate would have it, he went to the same high school as me and played high school tennis at Greensboro Page High School. Unbelievable coincidence. Love having you on the show. Apparently you are a freshman at UNC right now. We can see the shirt, but my good friend and your coach, Robert Hogwood, told me that you won the bracket challenge yesterday. Couldn't believe it, but welcome to the show, Ben, and congratulations.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, nice work. Can I ask you a question about in high school? Are people talking about Isner at your high school tennis team like he's some sort of saint? Or do they
good question.
You guys make fun of him?
No, he definitely does get talked about a lot. Definitely somebody that we all try and look up to in a way. But Yes, he definitely does get talked around campus.
It's a story tradition at Page High School. How windy are those courts up there, by the way?
Oh, it's brutal. On top of the hill, right next to the lake.
It's the windiest courts in America.
It's brutal.
They're so windy. No wind screens. Maybe they have them now.
Are atrocious, but.
At what point during Wimbledon, when you're watching the brackets, did you think like, all right, like there's a good chance I win this?
It's funny. I remember making my bracket and I texted one of my good friends and I sent him my bracket. And he was like, this is genuinely one of the worst brackets I've ever seen in my entire life. And I remember I was on vacation. I was in Charleston and just watching some of the first round matches. And after the first day, I look and see, and I'm like, oh, I'm in 16th place or whatever. And I text my friend and I go, how does it feel down in 2,400th place down there? But honestly, I did not really think that I was going to stay at the top. I knew I had like a pretty good first round, I guess. But yeah, I was really surprised that I stayed so close to the top pretty much the entire time. I don't really think I ever dropped out of the top 20 or 30 throughout the entire tournament.
And now you get a $100 gift card to Tennis Warehouse. what a treat.
I'm excited. Yeah,
what are you gonna buy?
You gotta buy some hats.
Good question. Might have to buy a couple of Nothing Major hats for sure.
This is something that initially I did not think was going to catch on, but then we had over 4,000 entrants for this. So we're going to keep on doing this.
For sure. I did not do the French Open one. I didn't even really know about it. My friend definitely, he reached out to me. He was just kind of joking because we're both like huge listeners. Like we've been watching like almost every single episode of you guys. And yeah, he likes to brag that he was like one of the first few hundred people to follow you guys on Instagram and stuff. But yeah, we've been watching, we saw like the Instagram stories with you guys putting it out and we're like, oh, we got to join for sure. And I think I made like two or three different brackets with two or three different emails. And he made one. And yeah, we were just having fun with it for sure.
That's smart.
I was just picking who I wanted to win. Like I wanted to see some upsets happen that they, thankfully they happened.
Ben, do you have anything you want to ask us, being a fellow Greensboro Page High School alumnus?
Yeah, I do.
Like I am.
I've got a question for you, all you guys. Which one of you guys had the strangest, I guess you could say, fashion phase on tour? And be honest, were there any kits that you guys got before the season and you just looked at them and you're like, there's no way I can go out and wear this on court?
Stevie, yeah. Take it away, because you play doubles with Sam, right?
Yeah, Sam's the worst dresser of all time. He's horrible.
Ben's talking, you're just wearing what they're giving me.
No, I know, but it's just like in general, you're a bad dresser and you let your nipple hang out in Australian Open doubles one time, which is ridiculous, and I had to play with you.
Shirt.
I had one time, I remember before the Olympics in 2016, I got like, you know, you get the big box of clothes with the Asics at the time. The shorts they sent me were basically like runner shorts. You know what I mean? Like they were like 1 inch inseam. I'm like, this is the craziest thing I have ever seen. I remember I took a picture and I sent it to John and my agent, Sam and Duvall. And I'm like, there's zero chance I'm walking out of the house in this. This is insane. Like it was the dumbest shorts I've ever seen. So I took my own stuff, whatever, right? And like they weren't happy about it, but I get down there. And at the time, like Asics did everything kind of the same because they wanted everybody to have like the same shoes, whether you were from France or England or whatever. And Gael Monfils and I were like talking about it. He goes, why aren't you wearing the shorts? I'm like, well, mine were like legitimately the world's smallest shorts. And he was like, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. I got the same ones. He goes, there was no way I'm like walking out in those. So we all like wore our own stuff. But it was just one of these weird things that like Asics sent I don't know if it was a mistake or what they wanted to do. It was not good.
Most of the time you got good stuff. Very rarely over the last 15 years, you'd get like your shipment from whatever your clothing company was. And you'd be like, oh, this shirt sucks.
But usually somebody else is also wearing it.
It would happen.
Right? Like, yeah, it's not like
you never played as well though. When you didn't like the shirt or the shorts or the shoes,
totally.
You didn't feel as good on the court.
I guess. I think for me, it was sometimes the companies would change the fabrics. It wasn't the fit. It would be the fabric.
Yeah.
Some would not perform well in like really hot conditions.
Yeah.
That would be.
They would send you like the heavy shirt for like at the summer swing. You're like, can you guys just send me like something light for the U.S.? Like, send me the heavy shirt for like Paris in the fall.
Yeah.
You know, like indoors exactly. Or something. It made no sense.
Yeah. Good question, though.
Yeah, that's a good
very
question.
Good question. Thanks for coming on, dude. All the best. Congrats for real. Thanks for coming on the pod. Like, Greensboro Page High School, unbelievable. Two kids from North Carolina.
Can't wait for the
if
U.S.
we can
Open
get a North
one.
Carolina kid to win the U.S. Open bracket challenge, that would be amazing. We took guesses the other day on like what the winner would look like, and I said like a middle-aged man from Nebraska.
Yeah, I heard you guys saying
I don't know, I forget what
John
you
thought
said.
I was going to be from Jack's hometown. It's pretty ironic. I'm from John's hometown.
Yeah, and then Hogwood, my friend Robert Hogwood texted me, said Ben Powell, who I coached, won the, and he sent me highlights of you, dude. You can play.
thank you.
I have Ben Powell highlights in my
Let's
phone
do,
right
hey,
now.
I think too, if Joey Donuts or Ben wins the U.S. Open, I feel like we get a repeat winner. They get a $500 gift card to Tennis Warehouse
for sure.
And one last question for John: you more of a Gassans or a Pita Delight guy?
Oh, dude. So you guys are out of the
it's like Jersey Mike's
out of the mix here. So in Page at Page High School, when you're a senior, you get to go off campus for lunch, and there's a couple great spots. There's a Gassans Deli. It's like a Middle Eastern Greek food, I guess. And then there's a Pita Delight, which is the best. So the answer is Pita Delight. I would go there 3-4 days a week, super close to campus.
Yep.
And when I go back home, I always go to Pita Delight. The one there right off of Elm Street. So, anyways, yeah, that's it. What about you?
Pita Delight, for sure. Same here.
Yeah, Pita Delight is an institution. It's been there, hasn't changed for at least 30 years. Unbelievable place.
Stevie and I will have to go try that.
And I will also claim that Greensboro is the home of the first ever smoothie shop. The juice shop on Longdale, Ben.
That's a good spot, too. Really good.
That has been there for as long as you've been alive, 100%. That's been there for like 40 years. I think the first ever smoothie was in Greensboro, North Carolina.
There had to be a smoothie shop somewhere in America in like the 50s.
Dude, juice shop on Lawndale and Greensboro was the first ever smoothie shop. I'm telling you.
There's another Isner fact.
There's no shot.
It has been there. It's been there for as long as I've been alive, dude. 40
years. 65
years.
And you know what? Christoph Vliegen's brother was the one running the smoothie shop.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Sam.
All right. Ben, thanks
Thank
for coming
you guys.
On.
Thanks. Thank
yeah,
you.
Thanks, Ben.
Really appreciate it. Good luck at UNC, dude.
The first smoothie shop. What are you talking about?
Juice shop on Lawndale.
Orange juice
been there.
Wasn't around before like the 1980s?
Bob Cobb in 1970 invented the Cobb salad.
Orange juice? What are you talking about? You're talking about smoothies. It's
you just
smoothies.
Said juice shop.
Yeah, but it's called the juice shop.
Okay.
Did I not say the word smoothie at any point in my...
You did. No, you did. But you did. Just said, like, the first juice shop of all time. I'm like, all right, like, orange juice wasn't invented before the 80s?
No, I said the first smoothie store, didn't I? Or did I say... I forget what I said. I'm sorry. I meant Either to say way. First smoothie store of all time is Greensboro, North Carolina juice shop on Lawndale. Probably.
I feel like
probably
California
wrong,
had a smoothie before you.
I remember going there as a 5-year-old with my grandfather getting a smoothie at juice shop, and it's still there.
You don't think anywhere else in the U.S. had a juice
probably,
shop at that time?
But there probably is. I can't verify that. But I have fond memories as a 5-year-old, and it's still in the exact same location. Hasn't changed a bit. That's it for Nothing Major. Please head to Tennis Warehouse and search Nothing Major for our merch, the hats that we are wearing. We might even eventually put some different merch out there. Maybe some hoodies or something like that. We've been discussing that. So the hats are still flying off the shelves. Let's get to nothing.
I want hoodies. I want a hoodie.
I want like a performance hoodie, not like a cold weather hoodie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a nice quarter
zip. I want a cold weather hoodie.
Oh, okay. All right.
We'll do both.
Frigid here in Southern California. It's cold.
Yeah. Feel bad for you guys. Anyways, but that's it. Thanks for joining us again. Go to our YouTube channel, subscribe, comment, like, subscribe to Spotify, Apple Podcast, wherever you get all your content, and leave us a review. We would appreciate that. That helps us out a lot. And that's it. We will see you guys on Monday.